Missed it live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
15 minutes now to 7 o'clock. You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya959. There's a lot that we've been discussing, but as you know, we welcome you to join us in these conversations, so do get in touch. Please do share your voice notes, your thoughts, and your feedback on 063-688-0959. Happy to take your voice notes on everything we've been discussing, from the markets to Vodacom to likes of Omnia, and maybe even your view of capital markets. I ask this because so often when we refer to the JSE and any other stock exchange, we typically take a look at the market movements, what the indices in particular are doing. That's a reflection of the companies that are listed on these stock exchanges and the day-to-day movements. Who's buying? Who's selling? Which stocks are performing better? Which shares are declaring dividends? Which companies are listing or delisting? But being a stock exchange is also a business in and of itself. And this has grown in terms of prominence in South Africa as we saw post-2015 the rise and the dawn of increasing competition within the capital market space. What does that mean? Essentially, the JSE found itself with new competition. Key players and stock exchanges like ZARX, A2X, 4AX, just to name a few. 4AX in particular, which actually changed its name then to the Cape Town Stock Exchange post the pandemic. But overall, this has now seen the JSE finding itself being challenged by competitors and peers in the market, resulting in the Competition Commission headed into a legal showdown to get some feedback as to how the Competition Commission has submitted that the JSE should be fined 10% of its turnover for what it describes as exclusionary conduct. To help us contextualize and understand the concern better, before we do reflect on a right of reply that has been offered to the JSE, they've shared a statement with us, which I will read with you later in the show. And Kevin Brady, the CEO of A2X, that is a competing stock exchange, who will be joining us in a short while in conversation. Let's start off the conversation with the Competition Commission spokesperson, Siyabulela Makhunga. Siyabulela, welcome to the show and thank you so much for your time, sir.
Good evening, Kuku, and thank you very much for having us.
Always good to touch base with you. Whenever we speak to you, we learn a lot more about the intricacies of the Competition Commission and just exactly how you execute your mandate. But I guess first things first, perhaps it's important for us just to have some clarity and context around the concerns and investigations that have arisen around capital markets in South Africa, specifically focused on the JSE and what's been described as its exclusionary conduct. Where did this stem from in terms of initial complaints set by A2X?
So essentially, Gugu, the commission has received a complaint from A2X, I think in October 2022. And in this complaint, it was alleged that A2X entry in the market in 2017, since it has obviously, as you put it correctly, that there has now been new players in the market. They have noted that there has been various forms of an exclusionary conduct which sought to slow down its growth and expansion in the secondary trading market. And this has happened by really starving A2X of the necessary scale and trading volumes. Essentially, the commission found that because trading of shares in the secondary market involves trading in shares that are already issued or listed on the JSE, mm-hmm. also known as primary listing.
Yes.
An exchange in a secondary market requires a sufficient, unaccustomed to A2X trading system with a trading system that is used by JSE to facilitate, among other things, cross-platform trading in shares. For example, if company A is listed on both the JSE and A2X, which is a secondary listing,
yes,
and the broker receives an instruction to purchase, let's say, 1,000 shares of company A, but the trader intends to buy 200 shares on the JSE and 800 shares on A2X, a broker must transact on both the JSE and A2X platforms. And due to the lack of seamlessness and synergy, the process of cross-platform trading becomes burdensome and inefficient and costly, and is therefore discouraging brokers, especially smaller and historically disadvantaged brokers, from engaging in cross-platform trading. Mm.
So if I'm understanding correctly here, the investigation also culminated in reviewing not only the revenue models of settlements as well as trade activity, but also an understanding of, I guess, how the stock exchanges try to be favorable to the brokers. Am I understanding you correctly here?
Most certainly, because remember, these are the people that, on behalf of the buyers, who then take the burden of having to look at what would be the financially sensible way of trading.
Got you. So on the back of A2X raising these concerns, the Competition Commission itself conducted its own investigations. Talk us through that process. What did that entail? And more so, what did you find that led to the outcomes and the recommendations you've shared?
So what we found is that the JSE has placed various restrictions on cross-platform trading, and that these restrictions have starved A2X of trading volumes, and this obviously has served to entrench the JSE's official monopoly position in the capital market.
I just want to understand, what are these restrictions and what do they entail? Does it go back to the transactional example you shared with us a moment ago?
Yes, and these cross platforms obviously include enforcing mandatory use of broker-dealer accounting system known as a PDA system, where its member brokers has raised really barriers to cross-platform trading on A2X through direct and indirect refusal to make the system sufficiently unaccustomed with A2X systems. And that the JSE has hindered attempts to achieve equal treatment of cross-platform trades undertaken by common brokers.
Mm. Let's talk about the challenge that the JSE has, refuted. We do have a statement that they've shared with us, essentially mentioning that they have followed through with the regulatory processes that are involved. They highlight the fact that the Commission did not provide details in its announcement that you posted on and posted non-confidential version of its referral affidavit. But in conclusion, they essentially highlight that they are going through the necessary procedure and will follow through with trial. I'm quite keen to understand where the discrepancy comes in and disagreement regarding the Competition Commission's findings, where the Competition Tribunal comes in, and the way forward now with the JSE.
Well, obviously, the matter now is before the Competition Tribunal, which is the competent institution that would make a ruling on the matter. And just for the understanding of listeners, when we refer matters to the tribunal, it is merely to formally charge the respondents of the allegations that are before us. And this obviously would have been the culmination of an intensive investigation to look at the substance of the allegations that are brought before the Commission. So what this then means is that it is either, or it is up to the respondents to admit to those allegations or contest them before the tribunal. So at this stage, where we are is that the Commission strongly believes that there is a case to answer for JSE on the allegations that have been put before it. And it is really, the onus now is on the JSE to prove to the Commission Tribunal that these, as they are alleging, allegations are baseless. So the Commission strongly wants to pursue this matter and make sure that it is brought to its logical conclusion, and that we are able to achieve a leveled playing field in the capital market space.
Got you. To close off with yourself, Siyabulela, before we get to Kevin Brady, the CEO of A2X, a competitor to the JSC and other stock exchanges in the South African market, beyond a 10% fine on penalty on the revenue of the JSC, has the Competition Commission made any recommendations regarding the BDA system that you refer to?
At this stage, we have not made any recommendations. As I said, the matter now is before the tribunal for it to set a date for a hearing. And obviously you would know that there are processes that would include the pleadings by the parties, the pre-hearing processes, the discovery of evidence up to the time when we get to hear the matter, where you also invite expert witnesses to bring a more clearer picture of how the systems work and how the commission had arrived to its decisions of referring the matter to the tribunal. So what would then happen is that when the matter is heard, there would be a ruling, and post that ruling, JSE has got a recourse of whether or not to take the matter for review.
Got you. Siyabulela Makhunga, thank you so much for your time this evening, sir. We appreciate your feedback, and we'll be touching base to get clarity on the progress going forward from yourself as a spokesperson of the Competition Commission. Thank you again for your time. However, you are welcome to stay online, as we are going to engage now with Kevin Brady, the CEO of A2X, which is a competitive stock exchange and capital markets leader in the South African environment. Such a pleasure to have you with us, Mr. Brady. You are no stranger to the capital markets environment, having worked for large institutional investment houses and having played your role, I guess, right across the spectrum when it comes to either trading shares, building a stock exchange, being an investor, and participating in that background. And this context is important for me to add because you are the co-founder of for A2X, rather. Let's get some context from your end on the back of the explanation we've had from the Competition Commission, the frustrations that you have raised as a competing stock exchange. Further add more clarity to them.
Sure, and thanks for inviting me to the show. In terms of context, really the core of the issue revolves in, as has been kind of explained, revolves around the JSE's BDA system, Broker Dealing Accounting System, which is a mandated system, which is unique in the world. Normally what happens is you set the requirements in terms of what an exchange needs, and then people can use any systems provided it meets your requirements. So this is, first of all, it's very unusual to have a mandated system. Mm-hmm. And then to make it worse, it's a closed system. So they don't have open access to allow different people to access it so that you can get better visibility. So our first and core argument is you can't have a mandated system that's closed. It needs to be open access or non-mandatory. And I think there's precedence ever in the world for that. So the way the JSE uses it to obstruct competition is they make it difficult for a broker to achieve best execution for their clients. And the example was given earlier where a broker receives an order for 1,000 stock A. They land up buying 200 in the JSE, 800 in A2X, is then combine that into one trade and allocate 1,000 shares at an average price. Now,
got you.
So they make that difficult. So as it stands now, we, in 2022, 2023, we made some advances with the JSE, but that really followed involvement from FSCA, from brokers, and from the buy side and ourselves to try and find a solution. It became a bit of a pressure pot. And they finally agreed to a way forward, which solves some of the problems, but definitely not all of the problems.
Jump in there, just to understand, you know, how they might have solved for some of the problems. Was this in terms of fees or the actual platform and settlements?
So you're right. This is often referred to it as the plumbing of capital markets, right? Which is a surprisingly complex space. So once the trade takes place, there's a clearing process and a settlement process. Now, once you've bought the trades, you have to allocate them to the client. And people, they're called deal management. They use the BDA system for that. So how was part of the problem solved? The part of the problem was solved that allowed what we refer to certain trades on A2X to get booked onto the JSE using a trade type called match principal trade. All right. So they could then move up that 800 shares to the JSE onto BDA and then allocate it as one ticket. So where does that? That's a big step. And interestingly enough, that opening up saw our volumes jump sharply. I mean, our market share like literally doubled that year.
Got you.
Now, where's the complaint? So we know that that's going to be done, right? Now, if someone wants to move it from the JSE to A2X, they can't do it. The JSE makes it impossible. Plus, what they do is they differentiate between certain trade types. So they'll say, oh, we'll let that trade type be booked across, but that trade type, no, you can't.
Would that determine you can only do that.
You can only do that in the JSE. But if you do it in the JSE, it's fine. You can combine it. So those are the type of things where this is not a regulatory issue. This is a deliberate strategy from the JSE to make it difficult for brokers to easily and seamlessly trade and allocate across markets. So they say it's skewed to be moved to the JSE and only certain trade types. And we are trying to make the rest of it unblocked. All we're looking for is a level playing field that's fair and consistent. And it's our belief that, you know, this self-interest is obviously come at a cost to the greater market, to brokers, to investors, to innovation. Because at the end of the day, any market you want in any industry, competition is good for the end user. It creates those benefits, efficiencies, price savings, innovation, client service, right? And without competition in any market, you don't get that, or you get it very slowly. So that's what we've been fighting for, and those are kind of some of the, I guess, we deep dive details.
100%. And I appreciate that this is a very complex matter to try to oversimplify. In my mind, I'm thinking of trying to buy bread from two different window fronts. It's the same bread manufacturer, comes from the same factory. You might get it for the same price, but you say, well, you know, I'd like half a loaf here and I'd like a full loaf there. But there's certain intricacies in terms of processing that transaction, where the one window says, well, you can only buy it for cash this side, but if you want to buy it on credit, you can actually do that at the other window. But if you're only buying it on credit, you can only do that on this side, but it depends on the size of the loaf that you're actually buying. So oversimplification, but I'm hoping that this might help our listeners, Kevin.
No, it's a nice analogy. At the end of the day, you want to buy half a loaf or a full loaf, you want to buy it cash or credit, you should be able to do it at either window.
Yes. Got you. Fantastic. And that really does help. What you've mentioned as well, Kevin, which is I think is so critical, is the reference to the mandate. It isn't open access in South Africa, and that is unusual in comparison to our global counterparts. Why haven't we seen any shift in the regulatory controls to make sure that we are globally competitive, especially given the introduction of competitive capital markets, which essentially came on board post-2015?
So, yeah, I mean, that's a very good question. So our regulatory framework is out of date. There's no doubt about it. I think Europe changed regulation 2007. India was like 1990 something. You know, the US have always been competitive. It's interesting because I think South Africa generally is good at adopting best international practice. Where the problem comes is implementation. And there's no doubt that the draft regulation that is coming to help deal with some of these issues is in the pipeline, right? And it is coming. I think they've had a lot on their plate with other requirements. And I also think they run into, you know, the normal games of obstruction and delays and questions and objections. And that also kind of delays the process. So regulation is definitely a part of it. If we had aligned regulation to best world practice, we'd be in a very different place because it would force interoperability. I just want to clarify, what the Competition Commission is doing is not saying, oh, regulation's out of date and that's hindering competition. What it's saying is that we accept that. Within that, what are you doing, JSE, that's obstructing competition even further and abusing your dominant position? Okay. And that really is the focus of the Competition Commission's case. And I mean, just to reinforce what I said earlier, you know, a three-year investigation, industry-wide, lots of players, you know, they've done their homework.
Exactly. On that note, we did ask Siyabulela Makhunga, the spokesperson of the Competition Commission, who's still with us, so he's free to interject if he needs to, around, you know, what the outcomes are. And as we know, the Competition Commission has recommended a 10% fine of the JSE's revenues. But what further prospects and shifts would you like to see as a competitor in the landscape to adequately address the hurdles that you describe the JSE having put in place here?
Well, look, I think what the Competition Commission is doing is an important one for capital markets in South Africa, because they are trying to say, let's not allow a longstanding monopoly actually abuse its position. So I think that's really important for capital markets. Yes, I would like to see regulation more aligned with national best practice. There are two pieces of regulation in the pipeline. The one is conduct standards for market infrastructures. We're expecting a third draft soon. We'd love to see that actually just accelerated and rolled out. And then the second one is the Financial Market Review, kind of referred to it as the Financial Market Act 2, which would allow something that they call admit to trade or the MTF model, which means that if you're a regulated entity, you can list anything in that jurisdiction for secondary trading, right? Mm-hmm. That is international best practice. And actually, funny enough, it's kind of common practice in South Africa. You know, I mean, of the 280 shares or 300 shares listed in the JSE, about 60 or 70 of them are inward listed. So they have a listing on another exchange.
Yes.
So it's a well-trodden path. So in terms of the regulation, I think that would solve everything, and that is coming, but it's probably still 1 to 2 years on the one side and maybe another 3 years on the other side. So it's not soon. So what the Competition Commission is doing is good work. And as I say, we feel that they have a solid case.
Got you. Thank you so much, Mr. President.
On our part,
we are
preoccupied with leveling the playing field. We want to achieve inclusivity. We want to create greater participation for those smaller brokers that obviously have had to deal with the burden of a costly way of doing business. We want to create efficiency in the market. I'm happy that industry players are already thinking along the lines of reviewing, you know, the financial market policy or legislation. But key to us is that we want to change market behavior so that we can allow for this greater participation that would in turn create wealth, growth, and jobs.
Got you. Thank you so much for that feedback there, Mr. Makunga. It helps us contextualize the issue at hand here, and of course understanding that we're looking to drive a competitive environment even within the regulatory constraints or limitations that might continue to exist. Thank you kindly to you both. This is a conversation that will certainly continue here on Kaya Biz and give us a refreshing perspective on the dynamics of capital markets in South Africa. So thank you kindly to you both.
Thank you.
That is Kevin Brady, the CEO of A2X, an alternative stock exchange that has been in the market since 2017 in South Africa. And of course, Siyabulela Makunga, the spokesperson of the Competition Commission. As a right of reply, we did reach out to the JSE to offer us their feedback. They have shared a statement with us, and I'll read a small short snippet that does contextualize their stance and positioning. They do mention, and I quote, "The JSE has been liaising with the Competition Commission as well as the Competition Tribunal regarding this particular matter. The JSE is currently preparing its plea to the Commission's referral, which, by agreement with the Commission and the consent of the Tribunal, will be filed in early 2026. So given the nature of these proceedings, the JSE cannot say when or indeed if the matter will proceed to trial." So that's a right of reply that we do have from the JSE there, just to ensure that we hear the voices of all the different parties involved in the story. But fascinating for all of us to learn, right? Typically, these are the intricacies in the background that influence how you and I are able to buy shares. So yes, you buy a stock, you buy an ETF, you buy a unit trust, but there's a whole lot that happens in the background regarding the companies that are dual listed in South Africa with a primary listing and a secondary listing on the variety of stock exchanges that we have. In South Africa in particular, as you've heard, the regulations are still quite restrictive. However, globally, the market does seem a lot more open and competitive.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.